RNZ National, it's Friday afternoon and it's time for Critter of the Week. I'm joined by Nicola Tookey from the Department of Conservation, a little bright spot in our weekly schedule. Hi there, Nick.
That was nice. Kia ora, Jesse. How are you?
Good. How's your week been? You just come back from Araki Mount Cook when I talked to you last week, and have you been, well, probably not jet-setting, but getting around the rohe?
Yeah, I have actually. So, it was lovely. Always lovely being back in Araki and the Mackenzie, and always nice when it coincides with the tail end of school holidays. So the bloke and the mini bloke got to come up and spend a bit of time with me, which was nice. Even managed to get outside in the nature with them, which was awesome. And then this week for work, I've been doing a lot with the Canterbury Araki Conservation Board. So for every kind of Department of Conservation region in New Zealand, there is a board which are independent appointees who kind of keep an eye on what DOC's doing and how it relates to our various kind of conservation plans and that kind of thing. Anyway, oh, yeah. So they meet regularly and I generally front up and chat to them at their meetings. But they had a field trip this week, which was fantastic. But just prior to the field trip, I think the Canterbury Araki Conservation Board is the only one in the country that has conservation awards, where they have their own awards kind of ceremony for people doing stuff out there.
Yeah, I remember award ceremonies.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. So they had theirs this week, which had some amazing entries from the people in this region. I was thinking of you, because lots of people doing amazing work on predator control.
Right.
And I think the overall winner was the Port Hills Predator Free Group, who are kind of getting right through that urban and suburban fringe right around there, which then connects up to the kind of Predator Free Banks Peninsula. And that was just great to see. There were some really cool school groups in there. In fact, Hunter's School, Hurunui College, won a prize for, they do work protecting kiwi habitat and looking after great spotted kiwi in the Nina Valley up this way. So it was lovely to see them be recognised and just, you know, just genuinely good people doing genuinely good stuff.
Yeah, people of anyone in any industry, these are the people who are not doing it to win an award, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And like one of the groups, which was a predator control group in another valley nearby to the Nina Valley one, they've kind of partnered up with the lovely people at one of the retirement homes up this way, one of the Ryman ones, where some of the older residents, or the residents there, are building us traps, building these community groups traps.
Okay.
In their spare time, they've got a workshop in their retirement village and a shed, and yeah, it's quite amazing to see all the pieces of the community kind of pulling together. It's lovely. So I don't imagine that many of the ones in the retirement village get the opportunity to go way up the Doubtful Valley, but they're doing their bit from their shed in their village.
Yeah. Contributing, being part of a community, all that good stuff. Cool. Did you spot any freshwater fish on your travels?
I did, because we went out around Te Wahora, Lake Ellesmere, which is that massive piece of water just below Banks Peninsula, as you're looking at it on a map.
Yeah,
incredible place. So, you know, it's been quite heavily impacted by the intensification of agribusiness across the plains, really. And so there's a lot of work going into restoring it. One of those pieces of work that we saw, so we probably visited about five or six spots around it, which included some of our rangers out there whose whole job it is to replant this vast tracts of land. And so they're planting tens of thousands of plants constantly and rebuilding and restoring a forest, essentially, around the lake edge. But we went to a drain. So we stopped at the side of the road and we went to a drain.
Yes.
We're a local farmer, and the DOC ranger were hosting us and talking about the Living Water Program, which is the DOC Fonterra partnership that's been going for about 8 years. In fact, prior to coming back into DOC this time, my job was setting up that partnership for the South Island.
What
so it's kind of like full circle. Yeah, I used to work for Fonterra. So in that piece of work, we stopped at this drain. Now, in that particular catchment, there's no real original streams left. They all got channelised and they all got built into drains. And that was the kind of the work of the government and the community of the day, was straightening everything out and digging enormous drains to get water off the paddocks. And
humanising it.
Some of, Yeah, some of these farmers though have taken the opportunity to restore them, and so this one was just looked like an amazing kind of like overflowing carex, kind of which are kind of big grassy sedges and flax and all kinds of things, and that was it was great to look at. But then our ranger Robin got in his waders and pulled out what he'd caught in the the evening before. He'd set some fish traps, and he
Yeah.
pulled out these enormous long-finned eels, and he had buckets and buckets of little freshwater bullies and freshwater fish, and there was a grown-up whitebait. Nobody ever gets to see the grown-up ones. They look quite different from the ones that go in your patty. And just a great example of, oh, look, if you look after these places, even if they are a drain, and you provide habitat, places for the whitebait to lay their eggs, it cools the water. The water flows through, so you still get your drainage. You could still have this teeming sort of a life, which brings me to this week's critter of the week. So
Yes.
this week we're talking about the redfin bully, not the schoolyard version, otherwise known as Gobiomorphus huttonii, which is one of those ones that sounds like a Harry Potter character. And it's one of our 51 species of freshwater fish in New Zealand. And I was kind of thinking about this because, of course, on the way out of Ariki, we stopped on the side of the canals just out of Twizel, just below one of the salmon farms. And me, Hunter, and Chris were all furiously casting out and trying to catch a salmon. If you talk to most New Zealanders, which we didn't, by the way, we caught one in the freezer at the salmon shop next door, but it was fun trying. So, if you talk to many New Zealanders, I bet the first thing that they would think of in terms of freshwater fish would be a salmon or a trout, which are of course, introduced and actually a real pain for our freshwater fish,
Yeah.
of which we have 51 species. So, this particular character is a beauty. They are endemic to New Zealand. They're found in lowland waterways on all islands in New Zealand. They are pretty widespread, but they're going kind of a little bit down in terms of their threat status. We're actually quite worried about them, and they are the best looking freshwater fish, native freshwater fish in New Zealand, which I think you would agree with if you've seen the photograph that I sent you.
Yeah, they are really, really sweet. Quite a lot of our freshwater fish that you've shared with me have been, brown, which is fine, but these ones have a fair bit of colour.
They do. They have these, well, the males do. The females, once again, often the females of the natural world dip out when it comes to the bright colours. So much like a peacock, the male is very splendid and has these incredible bright red and sort of silvery blue striped fins, and then really lovely markings, big kind of diagonal stripes down his face. And they are really amazing characters, these fish, because they can climb. So they have these big fins, pectoral fins in the front, and they can actually use those to sort of climb up quite steep angles in terms of little waterways and up over little
Really?
rocks. Yeah, a lot of our freshwater fish are really good climbers, actually. And they need habitat that's got like nice little riffles and rocks and cobbly kind of bottoms, and so things like too much sediment, which happens when you don't plant out your drains or your streams, are no good for these guys. They're in there eating little mayflies, caddisfly larvae, and tiny little crustaceans and snails. The males are also very cool because they're really good dads, right? So over sort of winter, coming into this sort of period, the male makes a nest, which is often underneath a rock somewhere. And then he just kind of changes colour. So he just turns almost black. And while he's doing that, he's defending the nest. So he's like a sort of goes into stormtrooper mode. And when a lady fish nearby are ready to lay eggs, she'll find a nest, go in, and then she flips upside down and lays anywhere between 1,000 and 20,000 little oval eggs in one layer on the ceiling of the nest. And then he goes in and adds his sperm to the equation. She takes off, She's an absentee parent, and he guards the eggs for another 2 to 4 weeks until they hatch. And he might even guard a few nests. So he's a very, very busy boy. And then once the little eggs have hatched, the fry, which are the tiny little, like almost like a larval form of a fish, 3 millimeters long, get washed out to sea. And they spend their first few months out there, and then they return as like 2 centimeter long juveniles. And this practice of going from freshwater out to sea and back again means that they are amphidromous. So that just means they migrate between the freshwater and the sea, but not for the purposes of breeding. They're doing it just because that's their life cycle. And it can't,
Wow.
they are amazing characters. We have 7 species of bully in New Zealand, and it's important to note that nearly 90% of our freshwater fish are actually endemic to New Zealand, and a lot of them, the majority of them, are actually declining. And so this one has declined, we think, by a third over the last 10 years. So that's a real worry, and we need to survey them again to try and understand what's going on with them. And there's two things that are the most devastating threats. One is those other big fish that I talked about before. So those massive predators to a tiny bully that's only 12 centimeters long are salmon and brown trout, which just gobble up anything. So that's a major problem, as well as being competitors. And then habitat loss and deteriorating waterways. So I talked about standing next to the drain with the farmer who very proudly told us about all these things he'd planted. It's the loss of that riverside vegetation or streamside vegetation that just makes life impossible, because you end up with all the sedimentation, all the mud, and everything spewing into those creeks, which means you don't have the little rocks, which means you don't have the little invertebrates to live under them, and you can't lay your eggs, and on and on and on it goes. So it's one of those sad situations where we actually do know how to resolve this, and we do know the solutions, and they're quite, I mean, that work that Neville has done on his farm with the Living Water team out there is less than 10 years old. And, we're already pulling out freshwater fish by the bucketful. So we know how to turn it
Wow.
around. We just need more of you guys to do it out there.
Great. Well put. And I guess you also need to think about the connection between your stream and the sea if you happen to be in a coastal environment.
Yeah, that's right. So they can climb, but when they're tiny and they're needing to come back in, it's really important that concept that you sometimes hear, kia ora te kai, from the mountains to the sea, or from your creek to the sea. How do we be responsible around making sure that those freshwater fish can migrate back and forth? And of course, we have a lot of migratory freshwater fish in New Zealand. We've got the lamprey, which you and I have talked about before, weird, crazy creatures that they are. And for those of you who may not be as enamored of the beauty of freshwater fish, or the redfin bully, you might be someone who enjoys whitebait. And if you enjoy whitebait and you want to keep enjoying it, then they need to migrate back and forth from the freshwater to the sea as well. And the thing is, it's actually quite simple to do. What it needs now, though, in terms of protecting those habitats, is it's all very well protecting a stream on one farm, but if the next farm and the next farm and the next farm do it, that's where you get the results.
Yeah, I spoke to a guy. Actually, he was the winner of the New Zealander of the Year for some particular category. Maybe it was environment. Anyway, he was at a marae in South Waikato, or maybe even King Country, and he was their marae's awa, their river. He was just going up the river basically, and meeting all the farmers along the way and getting their buy-in, and had a huge success.
That's amazing. People like that, who can see the importance of connecting and the cumulative impact that you start to make. I mean, it's a bit like, we were talking about those community groups doing predator control. One person setting a trap isn't gonna set the conservation world on fire or bring Kiwi back to the neighborhood, but if everyone does it, then we're home and host. So yeah, I guess that there's actually like the global conservation community and including the IUCN, are so sort of worried about the situation for migratory fish all over the world. There's actually a World Fish Migration Day, which is April the 21st, where communities come together and celebrate these fish and kind of share ideas about how to protect them. So we found a few bullies in the bucket when we were out in the drain near Te Waihora, near Lake Ellesmere this week, but I wasn't lucky enough to find a redfin bully. And if anyone has seen them, I'd love to hear about it.
Now, as you know, I'm going to ask you to rate the attractiveness of this particular critter on a scale of 1 to 10, please.
He's dressed for success, isn't he? He is a pretty spectacular looking individual, so I'm going to give him an 8.5.
Yeah, one of our highest scores ever on Critter of the Week. Nicola, thank you for the love and attention you give to these unlikely characters, and thanks so much for your time today.
Yeah, thank you, Jesse. Have a lovely weekend.
If you'd like to see a picture of the redfin bully yourself, as with all of our critters, you can find them on the website rnz.co.nz/Jesse.